الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى من الحق ليظهره على دين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما مزيدا. أما بعد، قال ابن ماجه رحمه الله تعالى عن أبي جعفر قال: كان ابن عمر إذا سمع من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديثا لم يعد ولم يقصر دونه، لم يعد ولم يقصر دونه. وحديث صحيح، وحديث صحيح. ابن ماجه رحمه الله تعالى compilation of the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and Abu Ja'far, he said that Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that when he would hear from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a narration, a hadith, when he would hear from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a narration, he would not do less than it, and he would not do more than that which he had heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he would not do less than that which he heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would not do more. He would be sticking strictly to the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this narration of Abdullah ibn Umar, Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, in the Muqaddimah of Ibn Majah, there are a few benefits that we can take regarding this asar, or this narration from Abdullah ibn Umar. The first benefit or issue that we can take is point number one, and that is that this is one of those asar. This is one of those narrations from the companions other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions and the tabi'in. As you mentioned, from the manhaj of Ibn Majah rahimahullah ta'ala and his sunan, is that predominantly he would collect the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and seldomly he would mention the athar of the Sahaba, the statements of the Sahaba. And this is from those statements of the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or those affairs pertaining to the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is one of them. And this is the first one that we are dealing with in our study and ta'ammul and dirasa of Sunan ibn Majah and ibn Muqaddimah. That's point number one. Point number two, the Nuqta Tithaniya. This is from an example of the high station of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this shows the Salafiyah of Ibn Majah rahimahullah ta'ala, in that he mentioned this asar to show the high station of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this specifically applies here to Abdullah ibn Umar, in that he will stick strictly to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that he wouldn't do less than that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he wouldn't do more. He will stick strictly to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this shows the high station of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam generally, and more specifically here, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Nah. This shows the level, high station of this companion, this illustrious companion, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And in addition to this, this shows, speaking of Abdullah ibn Umar in this hadith, he says, if he heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith, you heard from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith. This brings us to point number three. And that is the definition of hadith. Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is applicable here, is the ta'rif of the ulama of hadith, the muhaddithun. And that is ulama udifa ila rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in qawlin aw fi'lin aw taqweel. And that is that which has been attributed to the Messenger, udifa. Now, udifa ila, which has been ascribed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his statement, that which has been ascribed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his statements, from his actions, and from those things that he acknowledged, This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِذَا سَمِعَ مَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith, as he said, if he heard the narration from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith. And this also includes not just his statements sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also includes his actions, the actions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, his statement, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي وَصَلِّي صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي وَصَلِّي pray as you have seen me pray. Yani his actions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actions that you see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing in salawat, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي صَلُّوا خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَافِقَكُمْ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pray as you see me pray. Some of his actions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in also take خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَافِقَكُمْ. Another narration, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and take from me your rights of Hajj, meaning follow him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that which he has done in the affairs of Hajj. And this is for all of the actions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even though he mentions here that you heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this incorporates all of the statements, actions, and acknowledgement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for acknowledgement, this is like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar himself, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, which is in the Sunan of Tirmidhi, where he said, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, kunna nashrab wa nakul wa nahnu namshi, wa fi ahdi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kunna nakul wa nashrab wa namshi, wa nahnu min sha'. And he said, or kama qal, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the times of Ahdi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the period of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to drink and walk while we were, we used to drink and eat whilst we were walking. Which means that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them do this, and he didn't prohibit them, And this is in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. This is a statement of Abdullah ibn Umar, and it shows the taqreer of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them do this, and if it was haram, he would have prohibited it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a fair definition of drinking and eating, standing or sitting. It's a long affair. There's many issues and difference of opinion from the people of N. But the point here is the taqdeer, is the acknowledgement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this affair. So here, إِذَا سَمِيَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَدِيثًا لَمْ يَعْدُوهُ ولم يقصر دونه. في عبد الله بن عمر في هذا from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, a hadith wouldn't be less or more than that which he heard. And yeah, that includes the actions of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it also includes those affairs that he acknowledged, those affairs that he acknowledged. Point number four shows the importance here in this hadith of following the way of the companions. It shows the importance of following the way of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an example to show this. This asar of Abdullah ibn Umar shows why, and from the reasons why we follow the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As is mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, رضي الله عنه, where he said regarding the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هم أبر الناس قلوبا وأعمقهم علما. So they were the most purest of hearts, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abarru quluba. They were the most purest and pious of hearts. Rabbi yallahu ta'ala anhu a'maquhum ilma wa a'maquhum ilma. And they were the most in-depth in knowledge, wa aqalluhum takallufa. And they were those who didn't go or into any type of extremity. They were balanced. They were balanced. And the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اختارهم الله صفرة النبي ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them, the companions, to be from the companions of the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this shows the virtue, this narration here in Ibn Majah here shows the virtue of the companions and why we follow the way of the companions. رَبِّي اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَنِّي, their strict adherence to the statements of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and those who make ta'an, and those who speak ill of the companions of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, are in fact speaking ill of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's the one who commanded us to follow them. He's the one who commanded us to follow them. Point number five that we can take from this asar here is that it's upon the talib al-ilm. It's upon the individual who is seeking ilm. And a talib al-ilm, a talib al-ilm, male individual seeking knowledge and the female seeking knowledge, that they must adhere to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all affairs. And that is that regarding any affair of ilm, any affair of knowledge, the student of knowledge should collect and understand the holistic affair as it relates to that issue. They must understand the holistic affair as it relates to that issue. They hear one hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They hear this narration. They do not do more or less, meaning that they must have knowledge of what the Messenger said regarding that affair. They just don't take one hadith, and they do not look at the other texts. They do not look at the Quran. They do not look at the other ayat and hadith that gives explanation and gives in-depth understanding as it relates to that affair. As Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, al-bab lam yajma' turquhu, yatabayyin khutuhu, or khutuhu. And that is, that if one does not gather all of the turuq, all of the narrations, all of the different hadith, all of the different paths of narration in an affair, in a chapter, in an issue, then with that will be clear the error. The error will become clear. The error will become clear because they have not looked holistically at the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this affair here, in this asar, Abdullah سادة ابن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما. في هذا الحديث the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, you don't do more or less. You understand the affairs pertaining to the sunnah of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and apply the sunnah how it's supposed to be applied, and that is need, or that which is needed is أن تجمع طرق المسألة والباء, and that you gather all of the hadith relating to that issue or relating to that topic. إِلَّمْ يَجْمَعْ الْبَابِ إِلَّمْ يَجْمَعْ تُرُكُهُ بَيَّنْ قَطُعُهُ. نعم, the individual will make an error, and this is why the people of innovation, they fell into error in many affairs. They do not, they were not balanced. They did not look at the full text of the Quran. They did not look at the full text of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith, the turuq. They didn't look. They took one narration and didn't understand that ahadith explain other ahadith, and ahadith ayat explain other ahadith, and verses and ayat are explained by every or other ahadith and other narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find the Murji'a, the deviant group, the Murji'a, they took the ahadith pertaining to Allah's mercy and pertaining to the promise of Jannah for the ibad. In the Muttaqeen, the very the pious ones, are in Jannah, Naeem, blessed bliss in Naeem in Jannah, in paradise. They took narrations pertaining to these affairs and said that it doesn't matter what the slave does, they're in Jannah. So they took the word, they took the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala believers for them to be in paradise. They've taken these narrations without looking at the other narrations and other ayats which are dealing with the punishment for those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why the are deviant, wa'diyah. They just look at that aspect of those rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for the believers and not looking at the threats and punishment for those who disbelieve and those who are disobedient. And likewise, the Khawarij, they did the opposite. The Khawarij, they looked at those narrations, those ahadith, and those pertaining to the Eid, pertaining to the punishment or the threat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to those who disobey Him, subhanahu, and disbelieve in Him. Which is why the Khawarij are known as the Wa'idiyah. The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila are known as the Al-Wa'idiyah. Those who concentrate wholly, only on Allah's threats against those who disbelieve in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who disobey Him without looking at of Allah, showing Allah's mercy and Allah's forgiveness and Allah's reward for those who obey Him. But the Quran is that one aspect. Al-Bab in them yajma turku, bayin khutuhu, khutuhu. An issue, if one does not look at the whole affair, they will show clearly, or there will be clear mistakes that will emanate from that. And this Athar of Abdullah shows that the Talib al-Ilm and the student of knowledge, from the etiquette and manners of the student of knowledge, and from the etiquette and manners of the Muslim in general, is that they take holistically the sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ. All you who believe, أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ, enter into السلم, السلم, enter into al-Islam. As the ulama have said, all you, Allah says, all you who believe, enter فِي السِّلْمِ, أي enter فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. وَقَالَ غَيْرُهُمْ مِنَ الْأَئِمَّةِ الدِّينِ وَعُلَمَاءِ التَّفْسِيرِ, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ, أي أُدْخُلُوا فِي الطَّاعَةِ. All you who believe, enter into kafah, completely. Enter into the obedience of Allah subhanahu. Enter into Islam. Don't take some of Islam and leave the other. Enter into Islam completely. I believe and have iman and follow the whole of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not just one aspect of the sunnah. Follow all of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ادخلوا في السلم كافة. Enter into Islam completely. Not halfway, not half-heartedly. Enter into Islam completely. Enter into the obedience of Allah completely. Not half-heartedly. Not taking nisf. Not taking half and leaving nisf al-akhar. And leaving half of the other half. Be like Abdullah ibn Umar. إذا سمع من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديثا لم يحدث. لم يحدث. ولم يقصر دونه. Be like Abdullah ibn Umar, رضي الله تعالى عنه. Yeah, when he hears the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم a hadith and narration from him, he doesn't do less and he doesn't do more. He's not negligent as a man. And he doesn't do more and go beyond bounds in that which the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has tried to mention. And that, the brothers, is the character and the akhlaq and the way that the student of hadith, that the talib al-ilm and the talibat al-ilm, that the male or female student of ilm and the Muslim in general should act as it relates to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take it completely. Other hadith explain other hadith and narrations. And that is one of the most important nukta points or nukta that we can take, a nukat that we can take from this amazing asr of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Na'am. And now we go to the second narration that we're going to do today, the final narration, and that is an Abi Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal kharaj alayna ونحن نذكر الفقر ونتخوفه. فقال الفقر تخافون؟ الفقر تخافون؟ والذي نفسي بيدي لتصبن عليكم الدنيا صبا حتى لا يزيغ قلب أحدكم إزاغة إلا هي. وإن الله لقد تركتكم على مثل البيضاء ليلها ونهارها. قال أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه صدق والله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تركنا والله على مثل البيضاء ليلها ونهارها سواء. قال الشيخ الباني رحمه الله تعالى حديث حسن. And in this second and final narration we're going to do today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in this chapter, or this aspect, selected narration from the Sunan, Muqaddim of the Sunan of Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that An Abi Darda, on the 40th of Abu Darda, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came upon them while they were remembering poverty. While they were remembering poverty and fearing themselves and having reminders regarding poverty. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, is it poverty that you fear? You fear poverty? By Allah. By the one whose hands my soul is in. By the one whose hands my soul is in, you will be receiving the dunya, the worldly affairs will come upon you so much in abundance. The dunya will come to you in abundance. It will be abundant. The abundant amount of dunya will come to you will be amazing. Except that an individual after that would not be deviated in his heart except because of this abundancy of wealth, abundancy of the dunya. His heart will be deviated. وَإِمُ اللَّهِ, he said, by Allah, he said, لقد تركتكم على مثل البيضاء. I've left with you something that is clear, so clear. ليلها ونهارها سواء. It's night and its day is the same. It's so clear. There's no obscurity. That which he has left, he's saying, صلى الله عليه وسلم, it's clear. It's night and its day سواء. It's night and its day is similar in clarity. يعني, it's purely clear. There is no obscurity whether it's the night or whether it's the day. قال أبو دردا. And then Abu Darda, he said, تحليقا, regarding this narration of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned, he had a comment. He said, رضي الله عنه, صدق, he said the truth. By Allah, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he spoke the truth. تركنا, he definitely left us. He left us, والله. He left us by Allah upon clarity. He left us upon clearness. He left us upon clarity. ليلها ونهارها سواء. And that clarity is left with us. It's night and day is clear. It's equally clear. It's equally clear. There is no obscurity. There is no cloudiness. There is no obscurity in that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam left us. Subhanallah. And this narration, ya ikhwa, this narration is Hassan. This narration is Hassan. As it relates to this narration, we will deal with it with a few points. We will deal with it with a few points. The first point is the statement of Sheikh al-Dakhla regarding this hadith. He said, Hassan. He said that the hadith is Hassan. So what is the meaning of Hassan hadith? What is the meaning of a narration that is Hassan? And as we know from the manhaj of Salamakum Allah of Ibn Majah, is that in his collection of hadith and the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he collects the authentic sahih, authentic narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we have defined the meaning of sahih, and there is no harm in repeating it again, and that is meant matasala isnadu bi naqlin adilin dabitin tamma an mislihi wa la yakuna shadhan wa la muallala, and that is that which has been attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi naqlin adilin with a chain of narration. Number one, that is connected. Number two, it is narrated by trustworthy narrators. Number three, that the narrators are precise, that the narrators are precise and have strict precision in the narration, in that they do not contradict their narrations, that they do not forget what the narrations were another time and add and subtract in the narration. No, they are precise, completely precise. And number four is that they're not shy, and they do not oppose those who are stronger than them in narration. They do not contradict those that are stronger than them in narration, and they do not contradict those that are more than them in narration. That they would narrate that a specific narration has more hafaz, more strong narrators narrating in opposition to that which that individual has narrated. This must not happen in a sahih hadith. If this doesn't happen, then the hadith is sahih, along with the fifth condition, and that it is not mu'allal. It does not have illatul khafiyyah. He doesn't have a discrepancy in the isnad that is not clear, that is not an apparent. It's not apparent that they don't have in this isnad a discrepancy in the isnad which may be hidden. For example, the tadlis. For example, a missing narrator. For example, two narrators, ya ikhwati al-kiram, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, if, for example, you have two narrators who lived at the same period of time, lived in the second century in the same period of time. And, but in the apparent, it shows that they met. It shows that they met because they lived at the same specific time, but in reality, they didn't meet after taftish. After looking and delving into the tarjima of these individuals, these narrators, it is shown that they didn't meet, but in the apparent it seems that they meant this is an illa. This is an illa. And an example of also a obscure discrepancy is al-mudraj, is when a narration of the companions or narration of one of the tabi'in is attributed to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it was actually an addition. That addition in that matan or in that text was from somebody else's statement. The Sahih Hadith must not have these things. I mean, these two things, which is shaz, which is contradiction to those who are awthaq minhum, mukhalafat al-maqbool, man huwa awthaq minhum, differing or being in contradiction to those that are more authentic or stronger than them or have more narrators, and there mustn't be any minor or subtle and obscure discrepancies that in the naked eye it may seem okay, but when you look into the isnad, you know that it is weak or they have some problems. It must not have these two, but it must have three things, and that is ittisal al-sanad, that the chain must be connected, that the narrator must be trustworthy, and the narrator must be precise. That is Sahih Hadith. As for Hassan, what is the definition of Hassan in this here Asr of Abi Darda, this Hadith of Abi Darda, رضي الله عنه? Hassan is all of that which we mentioned. The five conditions that we mentioned have to apply with Hassan, except for one thing. There is one thing which makes Hassan less in strength than Sahih, and that is the position. Instead of having Dr. Ta, instead of having complete position or strict position, Khafif adopt. They have Khafif adopt. Yani his position is weak. It's not as strong. And this is Hassan. It's maqbool, it's accepted, but it's not as strong as a Sahih, because the narrator in this chain has a slight weakness. It's not very strong as it relates to his memory. But he's not bad, but he's not as strong as it relates to his memory. This hadith here is from that qabil. That's why Sheikh Al-Bani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he declared this hadith Hassan. Second benefit that we can take from this hadith is that from the statement of Abi Darda, is he says, وَنَحْنُ نَذْكُرُ الْفَقَرِ, and he shows that they were remembering poverty and mentioning narrations and revising the affairs of poverty. And this shows the permissibility and the encouragement that one should have in seeking ilm with each other and remembering and reminding each other, مُذَاكَرَ, and revising. The طالب العلم, the student of knowledge, should revise with each other. And Shaykh Ubaid, Hafizullah Ta'ala, he says, أَنْ يُذَاكِرْ مَنْ يَفِقْ مِنْ دِينِهِ وَأَمَانَتِهِ. And he says that you revise and this ilm with somebody who you trust. You revise with somebody who you trust in their religion, and you can trust that they'll keep the amana, the trustworthy in that jalsa or in that sitting of mudakara that you have. And that is that Abi Darda was sitting amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu, and he trusted them, and they were remembering poverty and the affairs of poverty. So this shows the importance of mudakara and the importance of remembering and revising with your brothers and your fellow students of knowledge in ilm. And it is from the way of the companions of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third benefit that we can take from this hadith, or the third issue relating to this hadith, is the dangerous affair of this dunya, and that many people will be led astray by the affairs of the dunya. And this reminds us of the hadith of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, where he said, "الدنيا ملعون وملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر وما ولا إلا ذكر الله وما ولا وعالم ومتعلم." That this dunya is cursed, and cursed is that which is in it, in this dunya, in this world, except for the dhikr of Allah, except for the remembrance of Allah. This dunya is cursed, ya akhi. It's blameworthy, some of the ulama have explained, and it's cursed, ya akhi. Illa dhikr Allah, except for that which is in this dunya, from the remembrance of Allah, from the dhikr, from the studying of Tawheed, from the studying of the Sunnah, from the remembrance of Allah, from the zikr, the remembrance that one does with their tongue, from the zikr that one does with their actions in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the zikr that one does in their heart by having correct aqidah and having correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dunya is cursed except for the one who does that. Or the alim, or the scholar who is of knowledge, the people of knowledge, and the muta'allim, and the individual seeking knowledge. So the dunya is cursed except by these three things, and that is remembrance of Allah, the ulama, the scholars of the deen, the scholars of the sunnah, the scholars of this beautiful religion, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that which they follow, and the muta'allim, and the one that seeks knowledge, and seeks knowledge. So be one of these three. Are you from any of these three? Are we from any of these three categories that are saved in the cursed nature of this dunya? Because in this hadith here, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "La yuzighu al-qalba ahadikum izaghatan illa hi." And this dunya, that will be given in abundance to the people, will be the issue and the affair that will lead them astray. So in this hadith, it shows the dangers of this world and the dangers of the wealth, that it is from the affairs that will lead the people astray. And the third benefit that we can take from this, or rather the fourth benefit or issue that we can look at as it relates to this hadith, is alamat al-nubuwa, is the signs of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alamat al-nubuwa, the signs of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is added emphasis for the believing person that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Rasulullah, that he, Nabi Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger from Allah. لا ينطقوا عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. He doesn't speak from his desire. It is a revelation revealed to him. This hadith is an additional evidence regarding this affair, O Muslim. Know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, no doubt. And this hadith here of Abi Darda is additional proof for that. In that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the dunya will come to the believers. That the believers will come, the dunya and wealth will come to the believers. And it happened. The Muslims became rich. The Muslims when they were poor. And this is confirmed by Abu Darda, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, "Sadaqa wallahi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said the truth, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah he said the truth. And that is at the time of Abu Darda, after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is confirmed by and also that which is confirmed is the cure in that affair where the people will have the abundance of dunya at their feet. So not only does it show the alam and the buwa, it shows the proof of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what he said will happen, happened, which proves that he's speaking upon the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at today, the affairs of the Muslims, they have wealth. And now people have been deviated because of this wealth. And people have been deviated because of the affair of the dunya.
لا يظهر قلب إزاهة إلا هي. No one is deviated except by the dunya. And if we look at the jama'at al-Islam al-Hizbiyya, we look at the deviant groups, what has deviated them except for wealth? We look at the people of innovation, what has led them astray apart from the affairs of the dunya, the loving of the dunya, wealth and status, it's become a fitna. And she said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الدunya mal'oon, الدunya mal'oona, that the dunya is cursed, and that which is in it, except for the dhikr of Allah, except for adhering to the sunnah, except for following the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the scholars, I'm seeking ilm, from the scholars who teach the way of Allah, the Quran, sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dunya is cursed. You see this today. And this was the sign of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said this at that time before he occurred, because it was the time of the companions, there was no bid'ah. And the time of the companions, there was no deviation. The companions were upon Sirat al-Mustaqim. They were upon the straight path, and the evil, and the bid'ah came after his death sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this shows the alamat al-Nabuwa and the signs of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number 645, not count, is from, we can take from this hadith, is the mercy of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The care that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for mankind, in that he mentioned the problem, and that is the problem of the dunya, and the problem of the worldly affairs, and the problem of the worldly matters, and its deviance and deviating of the people regarding this affair. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his love and compassion for the believing people, his love and his compassion for the Muslims, in that he gave the ilaj, he gave the cure, and he gave the solution for this problem. And that solution is that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ تَرَقْتُكُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا وَالنَّهَارُ سَوَاءٌ. I have left you with something clear. It's night and day is clear equally. There is no obscurity. He has left the sunnah. He has left the revelation. And if one sticks to that revelation, he is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be safe from those afflictions of the worldly affairs and the worldly matters. As is mentioned in another hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala, which is similar to this narration, where he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد تركت فيكم ما أمسكتم به لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا كتاب الله كتاب الله سنتي. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, I've left for you two things, شيئين. If you stick to these two things, you will not be deviated after me. You won't be deviated. The Book of Allah, the Quran, and his Sunnah, the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his taqrirat, his acknowledgement, the Sunnah. The Sunnah, you will not be deviated. لَكَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَاءِ, left us in upon clarity. There isn't anything that we need to know in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that he has told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There isn't anything, any action that we're supposed to do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do except he has left it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Baybar, clear, no need for innovation, no need for addition. Which is why he was firm, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action that is not from our affair, it is rejected. Why? Because تركنا, like Abu Darda, رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, صدق الله, والله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, تركنا والله على إضاء لفت الضوء لامتي ليلها ونهارها سواء. The night and the day is equal in its clarity. There's no obscurity. But because the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, he left us with the Sunnah and the revelation that Allah revealed, say in the Quran, and the revelation that Allah revealed the Sunnah to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all upon clarity. And this shows that if one was to stick to this affair and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be safe from the afflictions of the dunya and afflictions of the worldly affairs. And this shows the Sunnah of the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that he will tell us the problem and he'll give us the solution. He'll tell us the problem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he'll give us the solution. And that which is similar to this, it's like the statement in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is mashhur, where he said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, that those who live long from amongst you will see a lot of differing and splitting. There's a problem, and that is differing and splitting. He's mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he brings the solution, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِ خُلَفَاءِ رَاشِدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَبْدُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَادِرِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٌ. الحديث كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He mentioned the solution, and the solution he mentioned were two things. He mentioned two main solutions and ways to be safe from the differing, and that is to stick to his sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa Rashidin, number one. Stick to the sunnah and the way of his sunnah and the way of his companions. And number two, to stay away from innovating and introducing newly invented matters into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cure and the solution for the problem of differing, like in this hadith of Abi Darda, radiallahu anhu. He mentioned the cure and the solution regarding the ones being deep about deviation in the heart as it relates to worldly affairs, and that is holistically speaking to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, as one, what one should do in the affairs where there is fitna, badiru bil a'mal. Badiru, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bil a'mal. In the times of fitna, in the times of trials, in the times of confusion, stick to the a'mal, stick to the ibadah according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Badiru bil a'mal. Stick to the actions of ibadah, stick firm, increasing your steadfastness in the times of fitna. In the times of trials, stick to the sunnah. Stick harder and firmer to the sunnah. Abdu alayha bin nawajib. Stick to it like the mole in your teeth. Stick firmer to it. Badiru. Bil a'mal. Race. Race towards actions and according to the sunnah. This is the ilaj and the way that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has addressed us and given us advice on how we deal with the affairs of fitna and affliction and harm. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon this deen, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's left us to be firm upon it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left us, وَتَرَكَنَا عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَى لَيْلُهَا وَنُهَارُهَا سَوَاءٌ. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.
Assalamu alaikum.